would like to welcome everyone to our first podcast recorded within the scope of SEM project. As you may already know, SEM is an EU-funded project with the target of developing a sector skills strategy in additive manufacturing. Additive manufacturing, or more commonly known as 3D printing, is one of the key enabling industries for sustainable economic growth, being widely used in a wide range of industrial applications. The average annual growth rate of worldwide revenues produced by all products and services over the past 30 years is 26.7%, where the growth within the 4 years from 2016 to 2019 is more than 23%. According to Waller's report, the total AM industry achieved a size of 11 billion euros by the end of 2019. As a result of such high-speed growth, the demand for a qualified labor force in AM has been an urgent necessity, which eventually called on the SEM project to bring in a solution. This is the first SEM podcast which aims to bring into light AM linkage with the complementary topic of standards. In today's talk, we will focus on the topic of additive manufacturing and standards together with our guest, Mr. Klaus Beevi from SINTEF. As well as being a senior researcher at one of the Europe's largest research organizations in Norway, Mr. Beevi is a member of the board of directors in ASTM, together with his other roles as a past chairman of AM committee TK563 in Swedish Standards Institute and convener in ISO TC 261 Working Group 1 and ISO ASTM Joint Group 51, again in additive manufacturing. Dear Mr. Beevi, we know that you are one of the most enthusiastic experts doing research on many different aspects of additive manufacturing. Are there any similar processes in nature that might have inspired the development of AM?
Well, thank you, Kenan. Well, I don't really know for sure if it has been inspired, but really, successful addition of material is probably the most natural way to form an object if you don't have a specific tool to do it. We have seen it in nature. There are, for example, bird's nest. If you take a look at the swallow, they add material, small lumps of clay put together. And then you have a hornet's nest. They take some wood and chew it into pulp and put it together into entire communities. And then, of course, there is the, if you take a look at the seashell, for example, or snail, or slug shell, these are also built layer by layer, successive additional materials. And really, this was also how much of the pottery was made before the pottery was invented. So I would argue that it is the most natural way if you want to free form a product if you don't have any specific tools available for you. If it then inspired the early AM processes, I don't know. But I mean, a good idea is a good idea regardless.
Thank you. Can you describe briefly the historical background of additive manufacturing within the past 50 years?
Briefly, you say briefly. That would be very, very brief because it's a bit, it's of course both complicated and very simple. And I'll try to get the simple version for you. Back in the 1970s and 80s, there were these rapid development in 3D CAD, in CAD modeling and 3D CADs. And that led to people actually able to give three-dimensional data computer models of the products. Then back in the 1980s, for example, typically the American automotive industry had faced some serious challenges when it came to developing cars. There were competition, not least from Japan, where the Japanese were much faster and more agile in developing new prototypes and more products. And Americans figure out that one of their bottlenecks was the development of prototypes, long time waiting. So there were a lot of money, a lot of interest to develop rapid prototyping methods. And that led to a number of new processes to create rapid prototypes directly from CAD model data. It became launched during the mid-1980s up until the early 1990s. And as they emerged and become quite good prototypes, people thinking, well, why don't we make tools this way? And then start to make something they called rapid tooling. That was basically making tools based on what was called rapid prototyping technologies. And people also said, well, this looks quite good. Why don't we make finished products? They are qualities about as good as you can do for many of many applications. So start to code about rapid manufacturing and talk about that. But they realized this didn't really take off, and that led up to the need for standardization.
I see. What conditions have emerged the need for standardization in additive manufacturing during the evolution from rapid prototyping to industrial manufacturing then?
Well, you need to think of it in this in a different way. Well, if we're talking about rapid prototyping process or prototyping processes, a prototyping process includes everything from the concept idea to the delivery of the physical prototype. So that in that case, the requirements are very much ad hoc and just a matter of agreement between the customer and the service provider. A industrial manufacturing process is something quite different. It's a series of sub-processes and operations with very well-defined interfaces and specific requirements. And that gets put total different demand and need for consistency, predictability, and traceability, and also to ensure quality control. And these things needs to be handled in a different way. And then we need to understand that the additive manufacturing is more like a sub-process in an industrial manufacturing chain. It's not the whole manufacturing, because it's quite rarely that you can get use the part, whatever you get out of the AM process, to use it for a final application. You usually need to do something else with it. So you need to think of how the AM process fits into the manufacturing cycle and make sure that you have the producers, the customers know, understand the purchasing process, which roles and responsibility they have, and how to communicate. So there is great need for standardization here.
Okay. I would like to ask another question. Among many other names and definitions, when and how the term additive manufacturing has been coined and defined?
Yeah, that's a story in itself. As I mentioned earlier, in the early days, people talked about rapid prototyping a lot. And people said, since we are not using this necessarily only to make prototypes, and it's not necessarily rapid, it's a very bad name to use, but it has been established. There was a lot of discussion what to call it. There were people talking about freeform fabrication, solid freeform fabrication, layer manufacturing, additive layer manufacturing. There was really lots of discussion. But when the first standardization activity started up, when ASTM F42 started in February 2009, they decided we need to decide what we're going to call this, and we can't call it rapid prototyping. And after long discussions, they come up with that there's one thing that is common with these processes is that they successively add material. Therefore, they call it additive manufacturing. And that is when they decided this is the name and the definition I'm going to use for these type of technologies. It had been suggested earlier. It had been used, but not formally, and there was not really a clear definition. I would say that it started with the formation of ASTM Technical Committee F42 for Additive Manufacturing Technologies in February 2009.
What can you say about the importance of education being aligned with these standards then?
Well, simply speaking, a standard is a specification of best practice as agreed in consensus by experts and key stakeholders. This means that this is something that's been very much checked and qualified, and checked for quality and for content by leaders in both academia and industry. So I would argue that if you base your education on an international standard, you will have a seal of quality. And since there are also standardization activities that are focused on specifying the requirements for qualification of different AM professional, different competences for AM, it makes very much sense to use these standards and also connect to the content of other standards in the education packages, because it will ensure that it will be consistent, clear, coherent, and have a high quality in the content of the education.
Okay. Then what are the main challenges in guaranteeing this alignment?
mainly that those people who are developing the education programs are aware of the standards and understand and will use them. Quite often people are not really regarding standards for what they are and for how useful they are. And this is something that, this is a message we need to get out to people, that there are good standards for this, and they will, and they are very helpful. It will save them a lot of time and confusion, and above all, save the students a lot of time and confusion when they have actually, when they have learned it according to the standards.
I see. Are there any other stakeholders, such as national or international standard developing organizations, who started their own AM standard developments? Wouldn't this bring in some ambiguity or confusion in the market?
Very clear. That risk clearly exists. After the great 3D printing hype, there were many different standardization organizations and different technical committees in the major standardization organizations took an interest in this area and wanted to have their own standards. There have been an ongoing discussion between the original ASTM F42 and ISO TC261, who work very closely in collaboration and have coordinated their standards, developing standards together. But we're also having discussion or sometimes even argument with our SDOs and technical committees to ensure that their standards should be aligned, or at least not overlapping or conflicting with these ISO ASTM standards. Sometimes it works quite well, but maybe not everybody does not really agree to this. On the other hand, developing standards for AIM is hard work, and the vast bulk of expertise in additive manufacturing are very much involved with ISO and ASO TC261 and ASTM F42.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other different perspectives that you would like to mention regarding the standardization of AM?
I think it cannot be stressed enough that standard is a key element, a really, really vital stepping stone for industrialization and industrial use of additive manufacturing. And it's important that it's being kept consistent and coherent all over the world. And it's a very nice idea that since we do have a working collaboration, there are quite a large number of standards that have been published. I think there are over 40 now, and even more that are being in the development. So it makes a lot of sense if everybody would try to join up with this effort and make sure that we have something and we keep on building on it, so that the standard that will be available will be coherent and consistent, and we make sure that it has the highest quality too.
Mr. Beebe, I would like to thank you for your great contribution and enlightening us with your answers to our questions. I hope that SAM followers will now have a much broader vision about AM and standards by this podcast. And I would like to thank everyone for listening to us. So as to stay updated on the development of the sector skills strategy and the AM world in general, you can follow the SAM project activities through its website www.skills4am.eu, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, as well as the AM Observatory as the one-stop shop for all the latest news on the AM world that you can also reach from the website. You can also join SAM project working groups as an associated partner or an expert. To do this, you have to do just to visit the project website in the same manner. Our next podcast will soon be available with the subject of additive manufacturing and Industry 4.0. We hope to see you back there again as the SAM project team. Until then, have a great day.